This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You do not love Steph Curry more than Andre Iguodala loves Steph Curry. I mean, he saved his final thank you for Steph, and it was just the love that Andre Iguodala has for Stephen Curry is unmatched by anyone. And hearing that, it was so cool hearing Iguodala talk about Steph. And because I think we all feel that way about Steph. Steph has inspired so much for us here as a fan base, brought so much greatness here to this organization for us as fans to watch. Evan, you can make the argument that you and I have jobs right now because of Stephen Curry. I mean, his impact is that large. And seeing someone who, you know, this entire first hour has been about the importance that Andre Iguodala has had to the Warriors, but the importance that Steph had in bringing and attracting Iguodala and having and getting Iguodala—I don't know if getting Iguodala to buy in—but Steph's presence is what drove Iguodala to want to buy into this culture, and that buy-in was huge because again, it set the tone of a brand of, I say, selfless basketball. But you're right; there is still some self-interest there, but like, there is selfless through self-interest, if that makes sense. By taking that step back, being able to appreciate that bigger picture in a way that not many people are able to, it's really cool just how one thing keeps leading to another and all these dominoes that fell to set up the greatness that was this Warriors dynasty.
100%. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, always live on the free Odyssey app, Twitch, and YouTube, powered by First NorCal Credit Union. That's Sam Lubman. My name is Evan Giddings. We're filling in for the Joes here on the Morning Roast for the next 2 days. They'll be back on Wednesday. We're taking your favorite moments from Andre Iguodala, and a lot of them are coming in from our text line 510. I appreciate number 9 because when the game got hectic, he knew how to slow the Warriors down, like, hey, let's go to Livingston in the post. Slow down, guys. That's when he would always put his hands down, like, slow it down. From the 408, February 27, 2016 against OKC, Warriors down 2. Andre gets fouled 1 second left, hits the 2 free throws to send it to overtime. That was, of course, when Steph hit the walk-off buzzer beater in Oklahoma City. I mean, just a lot of great moments. We've seen them file in on YouTube and Twitch as well. The fact that Andre was a guy that, like, what stands out to me is, like, the mitts. Well, Kerr described Jimmy Butler's hands as claws. To me, Andre had the first claws, like the rip-through steal on just about every big-name jump shot you could imagine in the book. I mean, in 2016, Game 6, Clay's game, his final three is created in transition to put the Warriors up because Andre strips Russell Westbrook on the baseline and then pushes it up in transition and they go up. It's one of the best defense-to-offensive transition postseason moments that I can recall off the top of my head that Andre's been involved in. But he's been involved in so many. And I think I was glad that the guy got his just due because he deserves it. And Sam, if I can, I do want to play the full video that we promised the people.
Sure.
The opening presentation video in which everyone that was asked to, as many people as we could get and hear from, sent their words in to celebrate number 9.
Why here? Why are you a member of the Golden State Warriors?
The vision
for what they want to do with this franchise. And I think they were missing one piece, and hopefully, you know, I can be that piece to get the team to where we all want to be, which is try to win a championship.
The Golden State Warriors are the 2015 NBA champions. Their first title in 40 years.
This year's Bill Russell MVP, Andre Iguodala.
So my apologies there. I guess we're trying to put together the video, but
it's still pretty cool to hear that, though.
Yeah, no, and that's what it opened with. But the people that sent words in included Chris Paul, as you mentioned, Harrison Barnes, Jordan Poole. I thought got the biggest ovation from the home crowd when he called him, you know, JP, the little bro, the guy who. Probably was the biggest shocker to be involved in the thank you video was James Harden,
yeah,
which I thought was really interesting. Luke Walton, of course, his former teammate at U of A and then assistant coach with the Warriors. And it finished with his daughter, which was really sweet, who was there in
that
the building, too.
One.
So it was great. It was good.
Yeah. No, it was – first off, there was the Chris Paul part of the video when he popped up, and there were cheers all around Shea Center. And I was sitting next to our friend Nick Friedell at the time, and I turned to him and said, if I told you a year ago that Chris Paul will appear on a tribute video and get an ovation, you would think I'm crazy. But that's just how much things have changed here regarding Chris Paul.
That wasn't because he played for the Warriors. I mean, Andre wasn't on that team. It's because they won a gold together.
Yeah. Well, no, it was just, I mean, the way the Warrior fans have just embraced Chris Paul since he did sign here. Like, a year ago, if Chris Paul never played here, I'm curious what that reaction would be because he was such a villain to the Warriors for so long, but it's just, we all love him now. So the reaction that Chris Paul got in that video, I thought was kind of funny just in terms of just how far we've got moment. The other one that popped up that surprised me was Richard Jefferson, who I don't believe he actually played with Iguodala, or maybe he did in the
but
past.
They,
I don't know.
They were teammates.
Was it Olymp?
At Arizona.
Oh, okay, Arizona.
Yeah, so a lot of it was like collegiate stuff as well. Jefferson is a Wildcat. Steve Kerr is a Wildcat. They all played under the legendary head coach, Lute Olson.
Okay, that makes more sense because the only connection I knew between Iguodala and Jefferson was that Jefferson was part of that trade along with Brandon Rush, who was on the station last week, and Andres Biedrins in that trade that brought Iguodala to the Warriors. One of the you think about great trades in Bay Area sports history, Evan, it's hard for me to find a trade that's better than that one. Not only because of what you gave up, which was
trades are hard.
And they weren't hard at that time.
Not anymore, Joe.
You gave up really not that much. I mean, you did give up a couple of future draft picks, but draft picks are whatever sometimes in the NBA. But you gave up three players that were just going absolutely nowhere at the time and brought in a guy who just was a great player already and just added so much more to the team that he was coming to. It's hard for me to think of a better trade in terms of just the greatness that it brought back on so many different levels compared to what was sent out to bring Iguodala in. I can't think of another trade in Bay Area sports history that just hits on every single mark as well as that one.
I got one off the top of my head. Happened 18 days ago.
Ooh, okay. I like that. I like that thinking.
Yeah, Jimmy Butler. I mean, Draymond's promising a championship, and right now he looks like a prophet. Six games in.
He might have been onto something. You know, it's always a fun game with Draymond, Jimmy Buckets.
Well, but to your point,
it's always
though,
fun game.
There you go.
Thank you, Draymond. To your point, I think that one Because the Warriors actually attached future picks to that trade to get off of Jefferson.
Correct.
And Biadrinz.
Yeah, it was a, I got it up right here in front of me. So it was Andres Biadrinz, the greatest free throw shooter ever. Richard Jefferson, Brandon Rush. I say that facetiously. Biadrinz was not a good free throw shooter. A 2014 first rounder that eventually became Rodney Hood. A 2017 first rounder that eventually became Josh Hart. And then a second rounder in 2016 and 2017. That was the, that's what the Warriors gave up. In the three-team trade that brought Iguodala to Dub Nation.
They also traded Andre Iguodala.
They did, yes. That
you
was,
remember that?
I do remember that trade. That was the trade that brought D'Angelo Russell to the Warriors, which D'Angelo Russell becomes Andrew Wiggins, who becomes Jimmy Butler. It's incredible. Iguodala just keeps producing one way or another.
Yes, he
turned Iguodala into four championships and Jimmy Butler. That's a pretty good haul there for the Warriors front office.
Yeah, and for the 408, absolutely. Monte Ellis for Andrew Bogut. And it's interesting because I think that this Jimmy Butler deal, it had me going back last night. So one of the reasons why I couldn't sleep, number one, I was really juiced off the game yesterday. I was excited because of the retirement ceremony. I think the entire event, following also All-Star Weekend, like Chase Center has not so quietly been in the spotlight each now of the last two weekends on national TV. That was an ABC game. It was nationally televised. They took down the Mavericks. They lifted number nine into the rafters. And they pretty much sent a signal out to the rest of the league that this team is not to be trifled with. And I think the last two weekends have been a great showcase for what the Golden State Warriors 2025 season could become. And it was also interesting to hear Andre sort of speak about, like, they're not done yet. Like, he was talking about how he reflected on, you know, his time and his championships and his contributions. And then Steph got to the podium and was like, yeah, that just means we're old as hell. It means that we're trying to figure out how to maximize what's left of this.
He said, yeah, Steph, you know, once you left, I became the old guy in the locker room.
Yeah, he's still the old guy in the locker room. But I think also looking at Andre at the podium, speaking about the Warriors, in a place where Curry is eventually going to be. He's going to have 30, be up there right next to number 9. He's going to be enshrined in all these different leagues and, you know, wherever you want to put Steph, you can put him. But I do think that Steph watching Andre do that and then listening to Steph at the podium after the game following a pretty impressive, almost wire-to-wire win, it adds to me a little more urgency, Sam. And as we roll on here, if people want to call in and talk about their favorite moments that Andre Iguodala delivered, we're certainly here for it. But there's something about this team right now. It's got an energy, it's got a charisma, it's got a confidence that in a different way, because they're much older, they're more seasoned, but it does remind me a little bit of those Andre Iguodala Warriors teams. And I don't know if it's strength in numbers. I'm still trying to figure it out. So hopefully you can help me, Sam, and we can figure this thing out together. 888-957-9570 is the number. Sam Loveman, Evan Giddings in for Joe Spadoni and Joe Shashkin in the morning roast. A reminder that in the 8 o'clock hour, we will be giving away a Jimmy Butler number 10 jersey. All you can do is listen in. And we'll set you up with how to do that. Also, Tim Roy is going to join us at 8:30, the voice of the Warriors on the River Islands guest line. All that and more coming up next here. What's coming up next on the game? Brought to you by Chilton Auto Body. We're back after this.
I want Iguodala.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour, the boots that turn grocery aisles into runways, and all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
I want Iguodala.
He's too old.
Now, back to the Morning Roast with Joe Spadoni.
You're weak, you're out of control, and you become an embarrassment to yourself and everybody else.
And Joe Shasky on 95.7 The Game.
All right, and a regular cup of Joe this morning. Sam Lubman, Evan Giddings with you on the Morning Roast for the next 2 days. And it's funny that, you know, we've been talking so much about the ceremony and remembering a Warriors great that it's like, I got to tell you, Sam, I didn't know what was the story of yesterday. In fact, when I was rolling into Chase Center, and I know you were there as well, it's like, all right, is it about the 4-1 start? Is it about Clay coming to town? Is it about Jimmy Butler making his home debut? And all of that is wrapped under the, you know, the cloud of Andre Iguodala's number 9 going into the rafters, that the game provided almost as many moments as what happened after the game. I had friends texting me telling me that this is like the Warriors are so back, that they are a team that is to be trifled with. Players screaming through the tunnel about PJ Washington, about the Dallas Mavericks. There was moments during the game in which the bravado, there was the first Warriors chant of a Jimmy Butler era. They're 5-1. Like, what hit you watching that game yesterday? Or was it just all of it wrapped into one?
No, it was the blitz that they put on there. I mean, it was, you know, it felt like a wire-to-wire win, Evan. It wasn't. The Mavericks did get out to a brief lead early in that game, and you're thinking, you know, oh man, is this Dallas team gonna put a little bit of a damper on this incredibly fun Jimmy Butler era? And that was not the case. The Warriors took control, and I believe they won all four quarters yesterday, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, they blitzed them 33-18 in that first quarter, and no, Dallas won the fourth quarter 27-26.
So, oh, good for them.
They got a little, Warriors got really sloppy there at the end.
Oh, thank God.
Blame the Yuri Collins minutes there. Which we did get to see a number 99 on the court there in those last 6 minutes. Switch. That was kind of cool. It was the big story yesterday, though, is just how, well, I think I said earlier in the show, it was, you know, coming in at the start of the third quarter, this team has a massive lead, and pre-Jimmy Butler, that was almost like a death sentence for the Warriors. A big lead in the third. Oh, let's see how they screw it up tonight. Which is, you know, for a team that, you know, we used to call it Dubcon 3 whenever the Warriors would go off in the third quarter. But the third quarter Warriors are absolutely back. They won the third quarter 39-31 yesterday. I believe Steph dropped, what, 16 points in that third quarter yesterday? So Steph is absolutely Stephing as he usually is able to. This team, Evan, Draymond Green, when he said, yeah, we're going to win a title, we kind of brushed it off as Draymond being Draymond here, and I'm not saying let's plan any parades down Market Street just yet. You know, well, we're far away from there, but I mean, we
arrangements
know,
must
we,
be made.
We, you know, we know where the road is going to be. We know it's going to be on Market Street. I think we got a spot to post up the 95.7 The Game booth should that day come, but no, the story to me, as I said, I turned to our guy Mark Grandy at the end of that third quarter, and I said, hey, remember when big leads in the third quarter used to be a bad thing? And now it's feeling like old times again. So that's what yesterday felt like. It's Jimmy Butler is the Jimmy Buckets era is giving me vintage Warriors vibes. And they're 6-1 in this run so far. The one loss coming against the Mavericks in a game that you could probably ask everyone in that locker room. They'll say that they should have won it. This team looks about as good as they possibly could with Jimmy Butler. The honeymoon is still going. And when you look at the schedule, I'm going to bring up their schedule in just a moment here. But we look at the way the schedule kind of comes together for the Warriors. I mean, I don't know if it's a super hard schedule or a super easy schedule.
I got it right here for you.
There you go. I pulled it up too, but yeah, you go first.
Well, no. I have the number. It's the second easiest schedule in the West.
See, that's it, because I saw another website that said it was like the fourth hardest, so now I don't know what to believe. But I'm going to believe the site that you found instead. But yeah, they got an incredibly easy schedule. They got a little bit, things got a little bit easier with the news that Victor Wembanyama will be done for the year, because they still have two games left against the Spurs there. Those games got a lot easier with Wemby out, but you look at this run. I mean, this road trip they got coming up, Orlando, Philly, winnable games, Charlotte, another winnable game. The Knicks, they struggle against the elite teams. Brooklyn's kind of lost. I mean, and of course, Charlotte tomorrow night, though, not trying to put the cart before the horse, but these next six games, this is as good a runway as you could possibly ask for right now to really start stacking wins in that win column and start scooting up the Western Conference standings.
Well, that's why yesterday was just about as perfect a day as you could ask for if you're a Golden State Warriors fan. And it wasn't just Iguodala. It wasn't even just the win itself. It was the fact that over this weekend, the Clippers, the Timberwolves as of last night, the Houston Rockets on Saturday, even the Memphis Grizzlies, obviously the Dallas Mavericks, and the Phoenix Suns behind you, they all lost. Mm-hmm. The Warriors right now are two games above 500.
Kings, too. Did you get the Kings?
Well, the Kings lost to the Warriors.
Yeah, no, that's one of the, yeah. Add them to the teams that have been losing.
Yeah. Everyone lost is the point.
Mm-hmm.
You are 1.5 games back of the sixth seed. And whereas the goal set out by Steve Kerr at around the deadline was number six, seems very much attainable. And you're going to have to keep winning games, but that's why when, you know, it's funny, it all kind of comes back to Draymond's message during All-Star Weekend. And you can't put the cart before the horse, but I don't think it's out of the question. And that's why I didn't completely dismiss it at the time. Is like, we people ask, well, do you think he believes it? And it's like, yeah, I think he does. And one of the reasons is you can make a run to get out of the play-in. Like, the lowest seed that has ever won a championship is the sixth seed, 1995 Houston Rockets. However, if you're going to get to the six, to your point, Sam, you have to stack wins. You have to win games. And if you have the 23rd easiest schedule remaining, there is a legitimate possibility that this team, now with two wins under their belt, all they need to go to get to 20-7, to look at a 48 potentially win regular season, is 18-7. And that's a very good 25-game stretch. But for a team that's playing its best basketball, for a team that is now, statistically speaking, over a small sample size, one of the better groups in the league, I absolutely believe this team can make a run to get beyond the play-in. Like, to me, I don't want to say it's the floor, because you never know. Injuries could happen. It's an older team. But the sixth seed is a goal that the Warriors, like, that's a realistic goal now.
I'll say not only is that a realistic goal, Evan, but at this point, I'll say it, getting the sixth seed, I think, should be an expectation, and it will be a disappointment if they fall short. If this team cannot climb out of the box with how they're looking right now and the schedule they have before them and the style of play that they've clearly established they're capable of playing at, yeah, I think it's not go for the sixth seed. It's this team needs to be the sixth seed. Anything less, it's like you guys drop the ball. That's the expectation.
Well, you also have a 37, a 35, and a 34-year-old.
Again, this is let's just put this all under the banner of health permitting. Obviously, yes. If someone,
yeah, but you have to factor in health when you have an older team.
You're right. I'm not dismissing that, but at the same time, I'm not dismissing it, but I'm going to go under the assumption that, which is a dangerous assumption here, that they will keep a healthy roster the rest of the season. They're going to run into a roadblock at some point, and when that happens, yeah, we'll have to adjust how things look here. But I'll say that with everything said, if everyone stays healthy, then yeah, I believe that sixth seed is absolutely what we should expect and would be disappointing if they fall short. Now, if something happens, you know, knock on wood, so-and-so goes down with an injury, yeah, that's going to change things a little bit, and I think the expectations will change as well. But all things being equal right now, all health being equal, yeah, let's make the sixth seed happen. Now, you know, 20-7 to get there, that would put them at 48 wins. The last six full seasons, Evan, the average win total for the sixth seed in the West has been about 47 to 48 wins. Now, again, this is the last six full seasons, so that does not include the pandemic year of 1920 or the slightly shorter
2020?
Season. 2020? Yeah, 19 to 20.
They said like the year
1920. Yeah, 2019-20.
So, yeah, yeah. The 19-20 season. I think it was smallpox.
Yeah, that Spanish flu, man. It really.
Oh my God.
Really, really did its number there. But yeah, so that 2019-2020 season, and then the following 2020-2021 season. I'm not including those seasons. So in the last six full seasons, 47 wins has been the standard. Right now, the Clippers, they got a 54 winning percentage. That's about a 45 win total over a full season. So 48 wins probably definitely gets you out of the box. 45 wins right now looks like it will be enough. If the Warriors could land in that spot there, that's probably what they want to target. And you say, you know, they're 2-0 so far, 18-7 to go. And when you look at the schedule, 18-7 feels possible. If there's, you know, 17-8 or something like that, that still probably works as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's in addition to Butler and also Curry playing out of his mind. Like, he's averaging 29 points on near 50% shooting during the six games that he's had Jimmy Butler. It's really been about the fact that the Warriors have established a starting five, and they don't even have Jonathan Kuminga back yet, who I think is going to play a role in their success. But it's because Pajemski is playing out of his gourd, and Moses Moody has now scored double-digit points in 15 of his last 17 games. And when you have that, along with ideally a Draymond that can, he's honestly the biggest question that I have about, can he stay at the center position and play 25 more games, 30-ish minutes a night at that spot? That's something that I wonder about, because Draymond's also missed time due to injury this season. He's been dealing with a calf and he's had back issues, but leave that there. It's because they now have other pieces that have fallen into place that are playing the roles, that are playing well. Pods was your leading rebounder last night. You know, Moses Moody made a play on Kyrie Irving yesterday that I haven't seen many people make, which was just on a straight line drive to the cup. Kyrie evades blockers as best as anybody, and Moses Moody got a mitt on it. In fact, I think he told him to get it out of here. Like, they're playing with the confidence the younger guys are now, to the extent where even if Steph isn't on the floor, like you brought up the non-Steph minutes in the 6 o'clock hour, and I think a big reason that they're playing as well as they are without Curry on the floor, it's because right now Pajemski and Moody are playing like seasoned veterans, and they're playing their best basketball of the season.
I mean, Brandon Pajemski, I've been all over the place with Pods. You know, I was very high on him last year, then he kind of started to fade. I don't know if I'm feeling him. A lot of Pods beginning of this season, it was just every time he was on the court, there's a lot of just like, what are we doing here? I've really softened my stance on Pods lately, and it's going to go back and forth a lot, I'm sure, but yesterday there was a moment, I think it was in the second quarter, where Pods, it was basically had a one-on-one fast break with Kyrie, and Kyrie's charging down the lane at him, and this is in the first quarter, and Pods basically just 1-on-1 on Kyrie on a fast break. It just gets the hands up, standard textbook defense, prevents Kyrie from getting the score, and it's defensive moments like that with Pods when you see that happening. I mean, he's an aggressive defender as it is, but seeing it, you know, the confidence he has to kind of be able to get in the way of Kyrie like that, stop him, no fear there, that really stood out to me. There was another moment where, I mean, we all know how confident Brandon Podziemski can be. And I mean, no one loves, you know, Steph more than Andre Iguodala. I feel like no one loves Brandon Podziemski more than Brandon Podziemski sometimes. His confidence borders on extreme arrogance at times. But there was a moment where he had I guess you could call it a wide open three, but I don't know if he would have made it or not. But he's about to go up for the three. He stops, finds Jimmy Butler on the other side, kicks it over to Jimmy on the wing, goes to set the screen, and then kind of rolls to the hoop. And then Jimmy cuts over and puts up the floater, gets it in, and draws the foul, finding that better matchup there and still getting the 3 points that he could have taken with that three. It's just smart moments like that where instead of just trying to do his thing or showcase that he can make the three, it's seeing the rest of the floor and that realization that you can move the ball around to still make things happen. That's the growth that you're seeing from Brandon Podziemski that I really, really like. And it's the point where, yeah, I do like seeing Brandon Podziemski in that starting lineup. I'd be curious to see how often Brandon Podziemski is in that closing lineup as well. But yeah, this all a long-winded way of saying part of the reason why things have been so great during this Jimmy Butler era has been the improvement we've seen from Brandon Podziemski since he came back for, you know, last 10, 11 games from the last injury had him spacing out what it was right now. But the improvement of Pods has just been so incredible to see these last couple weeks here with this team. And, you know, I'll give Jimmy Butler a little bit of credit to that, too. He seems to be getting along with Brandon Podziemski very, very well right now.
Well, he's getting along well with everybody.
Well, yeah,
at least on the court, you know, and off the court, I don't think that's anything we have to worry about yet because he's been paid to be on his best behavior. But yeah, he's having fun. I mean, Pods was jumping on his back during the game. There was a moment on the bench after Pods hit that transition three in the second half where he comes over and Jimmy is just like screaming at him, telling him something like, keep shooting that shot. Basically, just you know, keep playing the way that you're playing. And Pods, he's someone that, you're right, he does not lack confidence. And like Iguodala talked about it before the game, how when you're an athlete, when you're a pro athlete, no matter what sport you're in, you need an irrational confidence. You have to feel like you're better than whoever's across from you.
The ego's important in a sense, yeah.
Even when you have no business believing that. Well, that's Pods to a T. But there was a moment after the game. So I went down to the interview room because Kerr talked before the retirement ceremony started. And I feel like I can share this. Pods was, you know, guys come through the tunnel and you're not allowed to film anything, but guys will be screaming at different Warriors related cameras. And, you know, a lot of the messaging was like a countdown, like 25 to go. You know, there was also some talking about the night-night that PJ Washington had continued to do against them in prior meetings. But one thing that Pods was heard screaming was they said that white boy can't play defense. And he was screaming it. They said that white boy can't play defense. Like, Pods is as confident as he has ever been. And that's saying a lot for a dude that had a pretty damn good rookie season. His last six games, he's the leader in plus-minus. I think he can play well with anybody. And you're right. He is, you know, whatever he lost at the beginning of the season when he objectively was not playing well whatsoever, he's put that behind him. That's in the rearview mirror. And I don't think it's necessarily been just since Jimmy Butler has gotten here, but Butler has helped take him, along with the rest of this Warriors team, honestly, to another level.
Yeah, no, I mean, it was the beginning of the year. It was, he had that nose, he had the broken nose beginning of the year. I think he had to wear the mask as well, and I think he even admitted the mask was kind of throwing him off a little bit. It was looking like a big sophomore slump for Brandon Podziemski, and coming off a rookie year where he kind of slowed down a little bit towards the end of his rookie year. I mean, I thought Brandon Podziemski was going to be potential trade fodder at some point. That's how low it was starting.
Well,
to
he's untradeable.
Oh, yeah. Well, he was untradeable in the Larry Markkanen sweepstakes, obviously. That was an abdominal strain, was, I think, the last one he had. But, yeah, no, it's when the confidence kind of matches the play that he's been putting up, it's just, it's so much more fun to watch. When he has, like, that's the thing, there's a difference between confidence and arrogance, and it's starting to feel more like this is just a confident player who understands the role he plays on this team, how he can be an asset to this team, and he's feeling his skill set so much more now, and it's incredibly fun to watch it happen more and more now on a night to night basis. And another guy who's becoming more and more fun to watch right now, Evan, you mentioned Draymond Green. Can he handle the workload at that center position? You know, the undersized center having to bang around against guys 6-7 inches taller than him. It's gonna wear on him, but he's gonna get a lot of help from one Quentin Post, the Postmaster General. He has been a revelation in the short stint that he's had up here. You know, Joe Shasky, you know, he was talking about this the first night that Quentin Post played. The next morning, Shasky's coming in raving about what Quentin Post is going to be for this team. And I'm like, let's relax. All right. It's one game. He looked good. That's great. Shasky was on it from day one. Quentin Post is looking like, I'm not going to say he's that dude, but he is a guy you could absolutely trust to handle those center minutes, and you could get those threes up every now and then. There was a point where he hit a corner three, and he was wide open on it. And it's just like, how do you leave Quentin Post wide open like that? Like, he's already at that point where you can't just leave him open because he can hit those threes. He can handle those responsibilities, you know, underneath the basket and do the dirty work that you need centers to do. I mean, he's like the perfect Steve Kerr guy, a four-year college guy, high IQ, not, you know, able to get the rebounds, not afraid to get dirty with what he has to do there. It's just, you know, we're talking about, you know, how this team can make a run, how this team can keep Draymond Green healthy. Give me more Quentin Post at the center spot to kind of take that workload off of Draymond Green. I'm cool with that, absolutely.
That's Sam Levin. My name is Evan Giddings, filling in for the two Joes here on the Morning Roast today and tomorrow, reacting to the Warriors' 126-102 win against the Mavericks. Andre Iguodala gets his number retired, but the Warriors, more importantly, move three games above 500. Their first win streak since the month of November. Since November 15th, they have not won three in a row. They get that done yesterday in pretty dominant fashion. They're now 5-1 in the Jimmy Butler era. And you mentioned Post. He probably had the two most exciting back-to-back possessions in the first half, where he hits the corner three off of a Jimmy offensive rebound, so he creates the second chance opportunity, and then he gets a dump off in the lane, and he goes up and dunks it. And I don't think that there's anybody who is more excited about a play that he makes, even with Pajemski on the roster, than Quentin Post. And Draymond Green is loving every single second of it. The fact that Post has come along so quickly, and he's even now found a role. Like, again, I think that's where Butler has made the biggest impact to me. He's structured everyone else's roles, and you finally now know what to expect. Curry has a set rotation now where he plays the first 7 minutes, 7 or 8 minutes of the first quarter. He exits. And then Jimmy plays with the remainder of the starters along with Quentin Post. That's when they went on their big run. They were plus 14 in those 7 minutes. Curry's been playing a lot. Actually, he doesn't play a whole lot with Jimmy the remainder of the game. He plays with him at the beginning and the end of games. And so far, it's worked to near perfection. So, you know, I think it's interesting that a lot of these players, like take Post, for example. He's someone, and he's shooting like 42% from three. He might be their second or third, definitely their third, but maybe their second best three-point shooter on the team behind Steph. He shot it well against subpar teams. When he's gone up against good opponents, he's struggled, as rookies do. But this is, again, the part of it that doesn't really matter for the remainder of the regular season, because they play an easier schedule. And if your goal is to beat who's in front of you, it's to win games, well, then I love the fact that Quentin Post can light up Dallas, he can light up Chicago, he can light up Milwaukee. He's going to have success against those kinds of teams, because those are going to be the ones that are in front of you that you have to beat in order to attain what we're all hoping, which could be at least the 60.
Yeah, and that's going to be one of the many things to keep an eye on here down the stretch, because it is, he's 19 games in his career. There's a lot of growth that still needs to be done there with Quentin Post. And yeah, his best games have come, at least scoring-wise, yeah, it's one against Chicago, Utah, another one against Utah. You know, his debut game where he came in was in a 40-point loss to the Celtics at home. Another good game against Chicago. He did do well against Milwaukee last week. That was kind of where it's just like, oh, okay, now we're starting to see the vision here with Quentin in post. It's going to be interesting to see him bang around with some of the bigger centers in the league that he's going to be seeing in these coming weeks. No Joel Embiid on this next road trip. You saw they're kind of shutting him down, but you won't see him there. But they go to Madison Square Garden on the 4th, New York, Karl Anthony Towns. Let's see how he does against that. So,
well, Cat got hurt last night.
Oh, okay. We might even get Cat then. So, well, now I've got to look at the schedule. It's like I'm not sure where the next big center that he's going to face is going to be. It could be that March 17th, St. Patrick's Day matchup against the Denver Nuggets. And I think for me, Evan, that's kind of the next big test that I need to see this team kind of conquer. Can they beat the Nuggets? I can't remember the last time they beat the Nuggets. It's been so long. It might have been that playoff series for all I know. That's got to be the next team, because we talked about, you know, can this team get the sixth seed and can they make a run, all that kind of stuff. I do not want to see the Warriors face the Denver Nuggets in the playoffs right now. They are just the ownage they've had on this team the last couple years. Until I can see them beat the Nuggets, I want no part of the Nuggets. So we are about 3 weeks out from this matchup between the Nuggets and the Warriors. So we'll see how Post handles that that Jokic assignment. We'll see how much minutes he gets in that game. I mean, he's been getting about 16 minutes a game during these last couple weeks here. So that'll be a good test for Quentin Post and just a great test for the Warriors to see how they match up against these elite teams in the West.
I think it's funny that we're already talking about matchups with the Denver Nuggets and Oklahoma City and Memphis. And it goes to what Jimmy Butler and this trade has done to this organization and what it's done to this fan base. It all seems completely fair at this point. And 888-957-9570 is the number. Evan and Sam, Giddings and Lubman, in for Spadoni and Shasky. It's like, where is your confidence level? Because I heard after the game, the most confident that Curry has been this entire season.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's been because of, number one, Jimmy, but also it's something that it's exuding. Like, it's trickling down to the rest of the players in a way that certainly wasn't foreseeable a couple of weeks ago. And I think it's because Steph now knows that when he's off the floor, he might be able to get back in the game and they might be ahead. Curry actually talked about those non-Steph minutes after. Here's what he had to say.
Yeah, it just feels, the game feels easier right now for us. Every play is not as crucial. When there's a consistency of the game, you can make a mistake and keep playing and not feel like, you know, oh my God, we gotta flip things right now. So I just think the consistency of what we're seeing defensively is setting the tone. You know, points off turnovers again tonight was a big disparity in the game. And that group, you know, with Draymond, Jimmy, BP, when Steph's off the floor, their defensive rating is just off the charts. And so we're setting a great tone. And then Jimmy, just the game makes sense when he's out there. He gets to the line, he makes simple plays, he keeps the game and under control for us. And so you can feel the difference for sure.
Yeah, I think he hit the nail on the head. The game is easier.
He said that a few times, which ever since Jimmy's arrived, and he said it because it's true. Like, we talk about how confident this team's feeling. How many times did Steve Kerr say earlier in the season, this team, there's a crisis of confidence? Like, you have a team with multiple NBA champs on it. You got one of the greatest coaches in NBA history. And he's talking about how this team's struggling with confidence, especially late in games. That team feels like it was several seasons ago now at this point. Like, it's crazy to think that we were talking about a team at one point this year that was struggling with his confidence. But, you know, and this is why I think it's fair to compare Jimmy Butler to Andre Iguodala in terms of just the mental boost that their presence has brought to this team. When you have a confident, excited Steph like this, the Warriors are about as scary as any team out there. When you got a confident, aggressive Draymond Green who is not afraid to score, you know, that is a very scary Warriors team to have to face. And the way Butler's arrival, and you're seeing it kind of coinciding with this recent empowerment of these young guys, Moody, Post, Pajemski, here's Gui Santos, another guy, really kind of flailing around there last night, or sorry, flailing his arms around last night, making stuff happen down low on defense. It's just you're seeing these guys getting powered there. That all adds to the confident feeling around this organization, around this team, to where you know, once upon a time, as I mentioned, a third quarter lead was considered a death knell for this team. Now it's like, no, this is how it's supposed to be. When you're up big in the third, it's because you're rolling. And that's why I had a game yesterday where, you know, between two teams that have battled each other very well, very hard in the first three matchups, this game was over with 6 minutes left in the fourth. And we got to just kind of, you know, chill and watch, watch the back end of the bench put on a show for 6 minutes yesterday.
The game was over when Curry did the night-night in the third quarter.
Basically, yeah.
He didn't play for the rest of the game. I think it was like 3 minutes and 30 seconds left, and then eventually when he went to the bench, he sat for the remainder of the game. But if Curry's doing the night-night in the third quarter...
Which feels like old times.
Yeah. No, he's never done that before. Like, I asked him about it after the game, and he said that the only other time that he'd done that was in the NBA Finals. I went back and looked at the... I think, as you mentioned, Game 6... So I went back and watched that third quarter. He actually didn't do the night-night. What he did was something even more ridiculous, which was he pointed to his ring finger after hitting a 30-footer where the net doesn't move, runs back down the court, and says, ring me.
Ring me, I remember
ring
that
me.
One. Yeah.
So that's more ridiculous than doing a night-night in the third quarter. But the point is, he's never done that before. And I understand that it was, you know, a back-and-forth with him and P.J. Washington, because he felt like Washington is someone that doesn't deserve to do that.
No,
you know, I was trying to repurpose it for the Mavericks.
Well, yeah, he was talking that talk the last time, and that's how you do that.
What?
Well, that's, you know, P.J. Washington, because obviously this is because he night-nighted the Warriors the last time the Warriors and Mavericks played each other, so obviously, you know, part of that smack talk is you got to throw your little, you know.
Yeah, but he didn't play.
Yeah.
Like, that was the part I think that was the most irksome. Like, he didn't play at all, and so he was still the guy that was doing night-night after the game. And so when I asked Steph about it, his final sentence was, "You got to be good to do it."
Exactly.
PJ.
It's not that guy.
You're not that guy, pal.
You're not that guy, pal. You're not that guy.
He's not good enough to do it. And I just thought it was, like, that's when the game was over. But to take it to how the Warriors are different, they shot 31% from three-point range through three quarters. They were up by 25. They ended up at 30% for this game. They won by 24. The Warriors are no longer a completely reliant team on their shooting. In fact, this is a basketball team that, since Jimmy Butler's gotten here, is not a very good three-point shooting team at all compared to league standard. They're a team that has figured out how to score in a lot of different ways, and it's because they can get shots at the rim. Their passing has improved. I think more importantly, their ball security has improved. They're taking care of it, and they're getting the free throw line, like you mentioned in our first hour, Sam.
Yeah, no, it's they're finding new ways to score. They're getting more guys involved there. And I do think, yeah, it's a large part of it is the empowerment of these young guys, especially Moses Moody. I mean, I was at the game last year where it was in the third quarter. You know, Moody hadn't gotten in yet, and then that's when the fans start chanting, "Moody, Moody," because they want to see, you know, always ready Moses get in, because last year it was just like pulling teeth getting Moses Moody onto the court. Seeing the role that he's carved out lately and how dynamic he's been in it, like, we'll see where he's at when Jonathan Kuminga returns, but yeah, seeing the growth in Moses Moody lately, the last three games he's been, you know, I don't know how much weight you put into the plus or minus stat. I think, you know, some weight. I don't put all the weight into it, but he's had three straight games of double digit, you know, positives and the plus minus. First time he's been doing that all year. I mean, they've been empowering him, and he's been another just key piece of why I think the Warriors have been so. I mean, it's the Jimmy Butler era. It's been all, let's see, a lot of Jimmy Butler, but his arrival is just, I feel like, touched so many guys on this team in so many positive ways. Moses Moody, right up there in terms of just how great he's been these last, you know, few games.
Well, he puts people into their proper roles. Mm-hmm. Like, Jimmy Butler is someone that can run a unit when Curry's not out there. He can get a shot when he needs to. I also don't think that Jimmy Butler is in game shape yet. So I think he can get better. Like, there was a stretch in the first quarter, because he played the first 10 minutes, and it's actually maybe the earliest best moment from this game where he goes to the free throw line, and you finally hear that Warriors chant, "Warriors." We haven't heard that at Chase Center for what feels like... The only other time that I can remember it being that loud at Chase Center was, well, when Mac McClung dunked over a car, but it was when Klay came back the first time, back in November. I think it was like November 5th. The only other time that I remember Chase Center being that loud in a season, this season, and obviously it was a very special night. It was a one of a kind night. That was just a regular season game.
Yeah. No, it was that. That's the other thing. It was just that. You know, the energy that Dub Nation always brings to games. It was back. I mean, I'll be honest, yesterday was the second game I've been able to make it to this year. The schedule-wise, haven't been able to make it to as many. The only other game I've been to this year was one of the Pelicans games earlier in the season. And that was a so-so event. None of the important people were playing. But, yeah, yesterday it felt like, you know, the Chase Center that we saw a lot during that 2022 run, where the fan base was just... So, and I'll be honest, I didn't realize it's been so long since we've heard the Warriors chants at games, because sometimes on the TV you can only hear so much. But yeah, it's starting to feel like old times again. That's what's really fun about this. It's starting to feel like the Warriors that we've gotten so accustomed to over these last 10 years. On the day that we honor Andre Iguodala and raise that number 9 to the rafters forever, you know, to see a team that just embodied, in a sense, the kind of just dominance that we saw for so long when Iguodala was there. It was just, it was almost storybook, really, yesterday, in terms of just how yesterday went. Again, one Sunday afternoon does not make a season, but we were talking about stacking wins. We're also stacking momentum. We're also seeing this team stacking confidence. We're seeing.
Okay.
I'll be honest. Yes, I'm a we person. I'm one of those people. I know there are some people out there who don't like the we thing. They get all offended when I say we. We are Dub Nation. That's how I do it.
Oh, Dub Nation for sure.
Yeah. But no, I do not mean we as in me and the other guys on the team. I am not a member of the Warriors, though.
Well, really. I think we, as you know, whether it be the media or the surrounding fan base, we have not felt this good about this team at any point in the season.
Not since.
And I don't think that the team, has felt better about themselves at any other point this season.
I don't think the last time you had to feel this just overall good about the Warriors. I mean, what, do I have to go back before the punch? Like, is this really the most happy we've been in Dub Nation since we went Hawaiian and had that punch happen? I got to throw that one out there.
You get that from Goo?
I did get that from Goo, yes. I think we all got
your
that
sources.
From Goo.
Yeah.
We did. I feel like it's just well known at this point. Whenever you say Hawaiian, we're talking about Daryl the Guru Johnson.
Oh, no!
There you go.
Thanks, Goo. He's going to be electric today from 10 to 2.
Oh, I can't. Yeah, well, hopefully he's listening to us on the way in. We're getting him warmed up. Love you, Goo. But, yeah, no, is this literally as good as we felt since that time? I mean, I can't remember a time the last 2.5 years prior to today where I'm just like, we're feeling this sunshine and rainbows about this team.
I mean, obviously the postseason is a bit different. I mean, when Curry dropped 50 in a game 7 at
that
Sacramento.
That was pretty cool.
That was pretty ridiculous.
That was almost a desperation 50, though. Like, it was just like desperately saying, I mean, that was the day before, that was the game where he said, you know, if he had to give that speech, you're either with us or you're with us or you're not. And then he goes and drops that 50 bomb. It was vintage Steph Curry. You felt great about it, but it felt like that 50 bomb was like, yeah, we really needed that. Not, oh man, that was really fun to watch.
Well, it was, I mean, it was necessary, obviously, but that was a massive moment. And it's just funny because, so Curry has the, you know, get off the bus if you don't want to play hard in this game type of speech. This year, it was Curry basically, what felt like setting up excuses for what was going to become a lost season. And he was on national television telling people on Twitter to shut the hell up. We're going to figure this thing out. Well, it looks like they've figured this thing out. And it's all changed because of one trade. The entire vibe of Dub Nation and the Golden State Warriors, more importantly, has become completely different. And this idea that they're now an entertaining product, to me, is just because they're winning. They're finally winning, and it looks real. Like, if I was to ask you, Sam, I guess we know the answer. It's kind of a rhetorical question, but they started 12-3. I think everybody was having fun, right? Because, mm-hmm. I mean, maybe you could say the last time people were this excited was when they went into Boston and beat the Celtics earlier this year.
Yeah.
But
good point.
There was something that felt a little bit off, right? Because they were playing 13 guys. The rotations were different. You didn't know what to expect on a given night outside of they were going to go into another person's house and they were going to win.
Yeah.
Now, they're winning games and they're beating the opponents they should, but there's more of an expectation. Like, you know what you're going to get. And I think that's what's also, That's why you're able to build more of a relationship with this current stretch of basketball, because you know what you're going to see on the floor.
Well, it feels more sustainable, too. I mean, that 12-3 start was fueled by what I called at the time the Buddy Hield revolution. You know, Buddy Buckets literally could not miss anything. The hoop was massive for him back then. And I think we all kind of ignored the reality that a team that's winning because of Buddy Hield isn't going to be winning for a very, very long time. And this sounds like I'm crushing Buddy Hield, but it's just, that's not the Buddy Hield that we've gotten since then. And now, though, it's just, this team is winning in a manner that feels more like Warrior basketball. It feels more like that strength in numbers is back, the right guys are getting empowered, and you're seeing how that's impacting the confidence of the veterans on this team to where, you know, it felt like just a lot of the season was just really starting to wear on Steph early on, the late game collapses, and just how bruising that was to the overall morale of this team. All those morale issues are gone. The way they were winning at the beginning of the year, it was almost like, kind of like the chips they give you at Chili's before your meal. Like, they were good, but they're kind of filling. They're not going to bring a whole lot of nutritional value. Like, these wins, though, feel like your main course. These are real Warrior wins. Now, that 12-3 stretch, absolutely huge, because you need as many wins as you can get in this league. But this 6-1 stretch feels more, or sorry, this 5-1 stretch feels more like the Warrior team that we expect to see on a night-to-night basis, whereas that 12-3 start was just like, yeah, it was good, but let's see how it's early, though. You still had to, you know, put that asterisk on that record.
888-957-9570 is the number. Sam Lubman, Evan Giddings in for Joe Spadoni, and Joe Shasky here on the Morning Roast. I'm not going to lie, I've never been to a Chili's, so I'm not sure how the chips are, but I'm sure they're pretty good.
They're don't fill up on them. They will spoil your dinner. Mom was right on that one.
I got you. Shout out to moms everywhere. It's time now for our injury report.
It's time for the injury report.
It really hurts.
Brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years.
Well, I don't want to get hurt at Chili's. All right? Might sprain an ankle like Jonathan Kuminga. He is getting, however, ever so close to his return to the court for the Golden State Warriors. Yesterday pregame, head coach Steve Kerr said that JK has participated in 5-on-5 scrimmages, which is a big step in his return. Kuminga is not available tomorrow night when the Warriors host LaMelo Ball and the Charlotte Hornets, but he'll be reevaluated for the team's upcoming road trip that starts in Orlando on Thursday. If I'd venture to guess, I think that Jonathan Kuminga is going to come back sometime during this upcoming road trip.
Yay!
Unless there's a setback. There hasn't been any so far, but unless there's one, I would expect him back during this road trip. And then the question becomes, how does he fit? Because Moses Moody looks spectacular at the four spot. He's been playing well even before the deadline. He's been empowered. He's making the most of his minutes. How is he going to respond? How is Kerr, honestly, going to respond when Jonathan Kuminga comes back? All right, when we come back here on the Morning Roast, I want to get into something. I've been saving this for a bit, especially because as everyone begins to file in, I see YouTube and Twitch loading up. I see our callers. 888-957-9570 is the number. I've been holding this in. And it's just interesting to me, Sam, how every single week of Niners football, we come in, we have an overreaction Monday. We decide that if they win, they're going to the Super Bowl, and if they lose, this team is sucked, and they blow it up, and they got to trade everybody. Well, the Warriors just had arguably their biggest win of the Jimmy Butler era, but it was a great day. You had Andre's jersey getting retired. Klay was back in the house. Steph went for 30, gave him the night-night in the third quarter. The Warriors have never had as much confidence. What's your biggest overreaction to yesterday's game? This is an overreaction Monday, and I got mine on the other side when we return. Evan Giddings, Sam Lubman, we're back after this on the Morning Roast on 95.7 The Game.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift stalkers, Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.